and welcome. It's hour number four. We run the gauntlet on the Ben Maller Show podcast, parsing the words of the curmudgeon of coaches. What is your reaction to Bill Belichick's latest statements on Tom Brady? As he commented that he wanted Brady back, but Brady chose Tampa Bay because that was a better team for Tom Brady. We take a look at that and more right now in hour number four. They don't call him the curmudgeon of coaches for nothing. Welcome in the beginning of another hour of the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere, as we are literally the fox in the hen house, coast to coast, border to border, and beyond, on the vast and mighty powerful microphones of FSR, emanating live from the Zen, the peaceful and calm Zen of Ben, the Fox Sports Radio studios in the North Woods. And you're going to hear a lot this week about one game, and only one game being hyped up as the game of the century, the biggest game in the regular season of all time. And our lead this hour is about that game. It's from the coach's mouth. We're, of course, referring to the Patriot-Buccaneer game this weekend on Sunday night of football. Both the Pats and the Bucs taking it on the chin this past weekend as they were in the loser's column. But they will lock horns in a made-for-television extravaganza. The world will be watching. The coach was peppered with questions about his star quarterback, Bill Belichick, never wanted Tom Brady to leave, at least if you believe Bill Belichick and his latest comments. If you have not heard, Belichick doing his weekly paid radio appearance on WEI there, and gets paid a good amount of money to do that. And Belichick had a lot to say, and we will parse the words of Bill Belichick. Here is Bill on his relationship with Tom Brady of the Buccaneers now, and how that relationship is at this point and how it was.
Tom and I had I feel like a good relationship and a lot of production, obviously, while we were together. And I enjoyed coaching Tom, and he was a great player for us. Sunday night we line up across from Tampa, and not just him, but the entire team. They're obviously a very good team, so that's all about our team competing against Tampa's team.
Yeah. So again, Bill's trying to pivot, and he say, hey, it's not about me and Tom. It's about us versus the team. Of course, nobody's buying that. Here's more from Bill Belichick. He's played a lot, coached a lot of his old players over the years, not quite like Tom Brady, but here's Belichick on what it's like to feast your eyes on the other side and see players you used to have.
There's guys on New Orleans and, Chris Hogan, and, there's guys every week that we've been on our team, or guys that are on our team that have been on their team, and certainly Tom's a special player. I'm not trying to put him in the same category as, a guy who was here for, a year or something like that. But at the same time, it's you compete against the team you're playing against, and that's what you do.
It's all about competition. This is very simple enough. All right, here's more from Bill Belichick. Now, this is the money quote. We've built up to the crescendo here. You'll hear the question on the answer, and the questions about the ending of Tom Brady's time in New England and whether or not Belichick wanted Brady back. Of course, well, here's Brady. You'll hear the question and the answer.
Bill, over the course of you and Tom's time together, you said dozens of times that there was no quarterback you would rather have. When did that change?
No, never changed.
So you wanted Tom to re-sign here after the 2019 season?
Well, I think we've been through all the dynamics of that. He looked at his options and made his decision. We weren't as good an option as Tampa. It wasn't a question of not wanting him, that's for sure.
I know the guy that asked that question. I used to work with that guy. Anyway, listen, so that's the big soundbite there from the Belichick paid radio appearance on EEI. So what is your reaction to Bill Belichick and the statements you just heard, right? You just heard there that, he's never changed his opinion on Tom Brady and he wanted him back. And so what do you think of what Belichick had to say? So I've got Needle, Spilling Your Guts, and Colonel Sanders. And we'll tie all of these things together into an adequate Maller monologue. Now to kick off, Bill Belichick can run, but he cannot hide. He has a commitment. He's already done his radio interview. He's several news conferences during the week that will be agonizing. This whole focus is all about Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, which Bill Belichick does not want to be a party to. His goal will be to not feed the media machine. He's already ruined that. He's already fed the media machine, but it's going to be mostly manipulation, downplaying the storyline. You heard in one of the sound bites that we played that Bill Belichick's talking about playing the entire Tampa Bay team. It's the similar situation to on to Cincinnati. Bill Belichick, one of the other things he did, he actually got called out on it by one of the reporters in Boston. I saw his other news conference, and Belichick says, we've already addressed Tom Brady's departure. And then the reporter said, well, no, you actually haven't. And then Belichick, realizing he actually hadn't done it, then said, we issued a statement, which is not addressing the situation. It's a prepared statement written by some PR hack. So he's very good at sidestepping issues, only focusing on the game at hand, right? But now the game at hand is Tom Brady. You cannot avoid the Komodo Dragon in the room this week. As a result, what Bill Belichick's goal is to thread a needle. Right, he's got to thread a needle, and you got to tiptoe around landmines here, not wanting to feed the media beast. And he's attempting to kill the Tom Brady clan with kindness. Because think about Belichick. Now, Belichick, he's the guy, we know the public Belichick. We don't know the private Belichick. But I assume he consumes some media. It's hard not to consume media. And I've been in a few coaches' offices over the years, and most of them have the TV on in the background. And so they might not be paying attention to everything, but they are listening to the noise, the background noise. We know Belichick is a fan of sports talk radio and became buddy-buddy with Joe Beningo when he was assistant with the Jets, and Beningo was the overnight guy. He used to listen to him driving in. And so he does listen to talk radio occasionally, at least he did, and consume television. So he is aware that Tom Brady's old man has trashed Belichick, that Alex Guerrero, Tom Brady's right-hand man, has trashed Bill Belichick. He's aware of all those things. But he's attempting to avoid having to go down that road and counterpunch. He's not going to go that direction. Now, the rumor is that Belichick is saving all of his gusto for that book that's supposed to come out shortly after the Buccaneer-Patriot game. There's going to be a book which is said to be from the Belichick camp, which will tell the inside story on what happened and will likely be a hatchet job on Tom Brady, if the rumors are correct. Now, furthermore, right, get back to the point, please. So when you parse the words of Bill Belichick, he blurted out a big acknowledgement in one of the sound bites. Belichick, in one of the quotes, had said that the Patriots were not as good of an option for Tom as Tampa Bay. And while he didn't explain why in his response, that does offer affirmation that Bill Belichick screwed up. It's as close as you're going to get to spilling your guts and attempting to take some accountability, some responsibility. Feeding the sharks in the water wanting more blood, right? Belichick is, he is the Patriots roster, right? He handpicked all of the players from scratch. So by saying that the Buccaneers were a better option, you are implying that New England was substandard, that you mismanaged the salary cap, that you didn't have enough money, that you didn't have good enough players around. All of that, you're divulging that information. Now, of course, he will not expand on that because, hey, it's water under the bridge, so I'm going to put the kibosh on it. But just the fact that he went there and said it, that's telling. Now, the last thing here, ultimately, the Bill Belichick-Tom Brady relationship had played out. And it was headed this direction for a couple of years. There were whispers that they were not happy. Now, I didn't think that Tom Brady was going to go to Tampa Bay. I did not. But in hindsight being 2020, clearly things had grown stale between these guys. And just based on Tom Brady's father and Alex Guerrero. And you know those comments they made were parroting what they had heard from Tom Brady. So that's the Brady position, that Belichick never treated Brady as an adult. He always treated him as a first or a second-year player, and that the old man essentially said Belichick didn't appreciate Tom Brady as kid and all that. So So, listen, everything has an expiration date. Things had grown stale between these guys, and they, based on the bickering that's going on behind closed doors, they're like an old married couple who just grew to hate each other. And you got to think that's going on behind the curtain, that they would just argue and have these little small disagreements, and over time, those become big issues. And they started drifting apart. It happens to a lot of people. And a unwillingness to adjust, and you could say that Tom Brady changed, right? Bill Belichick, he might not have changed, but Tom Brady definitely is not the same nerdy, kind of overweight, goofball out of Michigan. Now Tom Brady's got the gazillionaire model wife. He's got an army of toe-sucking fanboys that follow him around. There was none of that when he started. Nobody thought that Brady was going to be any good when he got to the Patriots. Otherwise, he would have been drafted much higher. But both Belichick and Brady, it's not just Belichick, it's Brady too, unwilling to adjust. Communication, all of those things. And so Bill Belichick was ready to move on. I do think that was true. I think Belichick, even though he says he wanted Brady back, he's not going to admit publicly, no, I didn't want this guy back. And then Brady goes out and wins a Super Bowl in Tampa. But deep down, he thought that Tom Brady would fall, and that the old mantra of Bill Belichick was to get rid of a player a year too soon than a year too late. And so he figured, Belichick, in addition to the fact that Tom Brady would do a pratfall wherever he went, Belichick also assumed the position that he was a football version of Colonel Sanders, that he had KFC's secret recipe of 11 herbs and spices passed down on a handwritten document, and he could go out and get any quarterback, and that quarterback would do a passable job, and that would be good enough to win. And come on down, Cam Newton, how did that work? Come on down, Mac Jones. Well, that's still a work in progress. It turns out that the recipe is at least lacking the wow factor at the quarterback position, because the ceiling really is the roof for Mac Jones. Now, Mac Jones, if he settles into being a Jared Goff-like of quarterback, is that the ceiling for Mac Jones, to be Jared Goff? Jared Goff got to a Super Bowl and put up good numbers. He had to be spoon-fed from Sean McVay. But is that enough? Inquiring minds would like to know. All right, meanwhile, I want to do a mini Maller monologue, a very brief couple of thoughts on the Monday night game, the Dallas Cowboys taking a can of whoop-ass on the Philadelphia Eagles, beat them by 20. They were 3.5-point favorites, Dallas. They win the game in a rout, or root. 41-21 was the final, and the talk of this game, most of it about how bad the Eagles were, historically bad. They ran 53 offensive plays, Philadelphia. They had a total of 3 running plays by running backs, which I think is an NFL record. But I did want to spend a couple minutes on the Dallas Cowboys. And the Dallas Cowboys now are 2-1. And expect all of your senses, full sensory overload with Cowboy propaganda. But a couple of thoughts on the Cowboys. First of all, you don't get style points for beating the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles are a bad team with a joke of a quarterback. You're supposedly the Dallas Cowboys. And this is what happens. You beat a team that you are clearly more talented than in Philadelphia. You're at home. You're favored to win the game. And the media is slobbering all over you, giving you a mani and a pedi because you beat an inferior opponent. That's the Dallas Cowboys. The other thought I had ties into that shows you what a deep, dark place the Cowboys are at right now. That this franchise, they haven't been relevant since the 90s. And that even this, beating a substandard quarterback, a second-rate outfit with the Philadelphia Eagles, and this is a feather in the cap of Jerry Jones. That this is a big deal. And this needs to be celebrated. Like, the media is doing it, but it's not like the Cowboys are downplaying it. I mean, that's a dead giveaway that the Dallas Cowboys have a long way to go. And if you were to look right now after 3 games for the Dallas Cowboys, their defense has played pretty well, but by the end of the year, That defense, if everything goes right, they'll be in the middle of the pack. So I look at the Cowboys, they're not on the same level as the Rams or the Buccaneers or the top teams in the NFC. They're not. You know, they're somewhere else, but they're certainly not at the top. And reality will come and hit them in the face. But for now, they're off to a good start, and the Cowboys, things have been so bleak there that if the Cowboys end up with a 10-7 record, they'd be like, oh my God, we're 10-7? We're so excited. All right, it is the Ben Maller Show. If you would like to be part, the lines are open for you at 877-99 on Fox. I was told that some members of the Maller Militia do not understand that there are numbers associated or letters associated with numbers on the phone. So I should give out the full number without letters if you prefer that. And that number is 877-996-6369. 877-996-6369. If you would like to be part of the festivities here, you can join the fun. Also on Twitter, give us real-time feedback, at Ben Maller. That's at Ben Maller, real-time feedback. We have that for you as well. A rather pricey decision. A rather pricey decision. And not for sale. Not for sale. We'll go there as well, and we will do it next.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
4 out of 5 nocturnal listeners to sports radio choose the Ben Maller Show to combat insomnia. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We need your help to grow the Maller Militia. And now live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
Later this hour, we'll have Cite the Bite, the great sports radio mystery. We look forward to that. An expensive decision and not for sale. We'll go there as well. We began the hour ranting about Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, and their relationship. Tom Brady is supposed to address the media on Thursday. So nothing to worry about today. I did see Tom Brady did an interview with his BFF there, Jim Gray. And I did see some quotes from a podcast interview that they did together. So nothing too spicy. Nothing too spicy. Every time I see that, I'm like, wow, Jim Gray and Tom Brady. Wow. That relationship, unreal. Let's take some phone calls here. And who do we have? Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Take a caller by their name. And let's say hello to Sam, who's in L.A. Hello, Sam. You are up next on Fox Sports Radio. It's the Ben Maller Show.
Thank you for taking my call. You're absolutely right. I was born in Texas. I live in California. I'm a diehard Cowboys fan, going back to Roger Staubach and Tony Dorsett. They haven't been valid since the mid-90s, like you said. Let's celebrate this win for 30 seconds. But if they have more than 3 losses, they're mediocre to true Cowboy fans.
All right, so your position as a savvy veteran Cowboy fan is if they do not go at least 14-3, this
that's
is a bad
right.
year.
And okay. All right. That's right, and at least 2 wins in the postseason. Otherwise, you know, you're just wasting our time.
Okay. All right. I got you. All right. Well, thank you.
You got it. Have a good day.
All right. The great Sam in L.A. Demands excellence. Steven writes and says, my reaction to Bill Belichick's statements, Don Shula is the greatest professional head coach of all time. He took 4 different quarterbacks to Super Bowls. 5, if you count Earl Morrill, is absent of detractors, put his name the NFL Coach of the Year Award, Steven says, trashing Bill Belichick. Well, Belichick's still going to end up passing Don Shula by because he's not leaving the Patriots anytime soon, and he has no hobbies. Assuming his health stays up, he's in good health, then there's no reason for him to stop coaching. He's going to keep doing it over and over again. Chris says, in the Cowboys' defense, they would have lost that game to the Eagles last year. He says, I do agree with you, though. All right. Very good. Back to the phones we go. Let's say hello to Angry Bill, who's in Florida. Hello, Angry Bill.
How you doing, guys? Hope you're having a great evening.
Ben, it's actually the morning now, Angry Bill. It's all night now. It's early in the morning.
You got to correct everything, Ben. You're just an expert at everything. I like that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Finally, after all these years of calling the show Angry Bill, you've had a eureka moment. You finally figured it out. Congratulations.
The only problem is I'm full of crap.
Well, most of us are full of crap. That's why they have the toilets.
Well, what
Hold on a second.
Look at it.
Yeah.
You flush it and move on. We're going to flush it and move on.
Yeah, that's Jalen Hurts. So let's play that again, Chris. This is Jalen Hurts. We haven't played this in a while. This is after the Eagle-Cowboy game last night. This is we call this a timeless evergreen soundbite. This will be played long after Jalen Hurts is out of the NFL.
You take you a deuce. You don't sit there and look at it. You flush it and move on. We're going to flush it and move on.
Yeah. Angry Bill? Did he hang up?
He flushed himself.
What is that? That sound like 10 seconds? He couldn't wait 10 seconds? Oh, my God. Well, the good news, Eddie, is we don't have to use the delay system now because he's gone. So usually when he's on, he says something and we have to dump him. So we don't have to do that. I mentioned this earlier. I don't think we paid it off, though. The nothing to see here story. We have a follow-up to the big controversy in the Green Bay Packer 49er game involving Davante Adams. Now, there was a massive body blow by a 49er defender against Davante Adams. A massive play there in the fourth quarter. And Adams was laid out. Looked like he needed a body bag. He was on the field there. Estimates say he was out for about 90 seconds. And the trainers checked him out there, and Adams was back on the field one play later, despite a helmet-to-helmet collision. And the hit was pretty bad on the replay. Well, the NFL released via the Pravda News Service, their state-sponsored NFL broadcast channel, they said that Davante Adams and the Packers completely followed concussion protocol before letting him back on to the field. And into the game, they issued a prepared statement. The unaffiliated neurologist there consulted with the 49ers there is a leading expert in concussions, according to state-sponsored NFL media. Wink, wink, nod, nod. Now, it certainly appeared that he was unconscious. Maybe he was just closing his eyes because he was counting sheep or something like that. He wasn't actually unconscious. He was just pretending to be unconscious. The spin from the Packers is he just got the wind knocked out of him. That's all. That's all they're saying. Of course, I would spin it too. Without Davante Adams, did they win that game? Without Davante Adams and Kyle Shanahan incompetence, did they end up winning that game? Probably not. Probably not.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ben, this out of the NBA, you know I am I'm not much of an NBA guy, but
you like the NBA when they had the short shorts.
I was a fan back in the day. But I see these numbers, and maybe I just don't know what I'm talking about. But
all right.
I did see the Denver Nuggets signed Michael Porter Jr. to a 5-year, $207 million contract. Michael Porter Jr., is he deserving of, I mean, I know deserving is a relative word in sports. I mean, you can argue no one's deserving of this, but all things considered, this guy, $207 million deal, is that crazy to me? Or?
As my parents taught me, you are what you're paid. I understand that, but
you know what I'm saying on this.
Well, do I think that one person has said, hey, let's go to watch the Nuggets tonight because of Michael Porter Jr.? No. I don't think that conversation has ever happened, Eddie. I don't think that anyone turns on an NBA game to say, let's watch Michael Porter Jr. play basketball. So in terms of him actually...
Is he going to be an all-star player?
Well, clearly the Nuggets think he's an all-star player.
What do you think?
I think he's a dime a dozen guy. I don't think he's anything spectacular. But a dime a dozen guy gets $200 million in the NBA today.
Wow.
Why can't we have that in sports talk radio, where an average sports talk host gets $200 million? Can we make that happen?
I would, if I was in my power, I would definitely do that.
I was listening. During the commercials, if you listen to the network feed, we play commercials, promos for the other shows. And I heard Colin Cowherd tell a story about how he's buddy-buddy with Stan Kroenke.
When are you going to a party with Stan Kroenke?
Yeah. And I'm like, well, I'm hanging out with the hot dog vendors at these games, and Colin's hanging out with the owner, Stan Kroenke. I'm like, what's that? Yeah. And we work at the same place, and I'm like, what am I doing wrong here, Eddie?
I love how he just said it, too, like, oh, by the way, I was at a party with Stan Kroenke.
Yeah, I mean, it's
I'm not going to get into it, but I was at a party with Stan Kroenke.
It is so Colin. It's so wonderful. It's great. As I also point out, when Colin sells his house, he ends up in the real estate section of the LA Times. When I sell my house, no one knows about it unless I say something. But
that's out of the Pat O'Brien playbook.
Yeah, he is. That's a good point. Like, Colin is, he's a young Pat O'Brien, P-O-B. Like, and I love Pat. Pat was great, and he's retired now, I guess. I don't know what Pat's up to. I had him on my podcast a while ago. He invited me to lunch. He also said,
for those that are younger out there, Ben, who would be a good current comparison to Pat O'Brien?
Because
I mean, he was a big deal. Yeah. He was the studio guy, right? For the NBA, when the NBA was in its heyday, there with the Lakers and the Celtics and all that.
I don't think there is a good comp. Like, you think of who's the top? Ernie Johnson, but Ernie Johnson doesn't. He just does basketball. I guess he does baseball too. So maybe Ernie Johnson. Maybe. Who else? Think of the studio hosts. Kurt Menefee, James Brown. There's not really a great comp. Because Pat did, you're right, CBS had seemingly everything back in those days. And he
was on, wasn't he on Entertainment Tonight as well?
Yes. Yeah. Well, he did. That's where he had some
maybe
issues.
Greg Gumbel?
Not anymore. I'm going to go no on that. Well, maybe somebody has a better suggestion on that. Possible that's the case. So we mentioned the stranger danger. We mentioned that. We also mentioned, in addition to that, the expensive decision. That would be Andrew Wiggins. We're going to focus in on Andrew Wiggins. NBA Media Day on Monday. Andrew Wiggins has decided not to get the COVID vaccine, and he is a very prominent figure who has a lot to lose not getting the vaccine. The big three I've seen in the NBA are Andrew Wiggins, Bradley Beal, and Kyrie Irving. And so the media is freaking out, right? The media thinks everyone has to get the vaccine. No one cannot get the vaccine. If you don't get the vaccine, you're the devil incarnate. And so Andrew Wiggins is getting just roasted for this. And he says he will continue down that path. Of course, he's going to not get the vaccine. And since he plays for the Warriors and they play in the Bay Area, there in San Francisco, he is going to lose more than $350,000 per night at home the Warriors don't play. But since the Warriors are scheduled to play two games in the New York tri-state area there, and they have to play in New York City where they have a vaccine mandate, which means since Andrew Wiggins is unvaccinated, he will not be able to play either. And so that means he'll miss 43 games. So if you do the Maller math on that, the arithmetic, at $350,000 per game with 43 games missed, and that's games he will not be paid for, that is an insane amount of money. That's half of his salary for this year. And Wiggins was asked about it, and he said, quote, "I know, and it's my problem, not yours." And that drove the media even more upset. Listen, I tip the cap. If Andrew Wiggins has enough money where he is willing to give up a half of his $31.6 million salary, then so be it. And if Golden State's going to continue to have him on the team, then that's on them, and that's just the way it's going to be. But these NBA guys, Kyrie, at least Andrew Wiggins had the balls to address the media. Like, Kyrie didn't do that. Kyrie skipped out. Hell, David Letterman showed up to Brooklyn Nets Media Day, but not Kyrie Irving. But Bradley Beal also. Bradley Beal spoke. He was at Media Day. I saw some quotes there and some comments there. And he asked a bunch of random questions about the vaccine, which, of course, upset more of the media. The wokesters in the media were losing their mind. I have the vaccine, but I don't care. If you don't want to get the vaccine, that's on you. I don't care. That's your life. Do what you want. Anyway, it is the Ben Maller Show. Back to the phones we go. And eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Let's say hello to Dick in Dayton, the Dickster. Hello, Dick.
Good morning, guys.
This man is not in one band. He's not in two bands. He's in three bands. Three of them.
Wow.
Wow. Hey, Ben, I wanted to tell you last night on the news,
yeah.
It must be the way the Browns have been playing. They had a feature about the fans, you know, coming back since, you know, not since like the 80s and 90s, and they had, oh, my gosh, they showed the restaurants, they showed the, you know, the TV and everything, and,
yeah.
And oh, it was, I'm telling you, the fans were just so excited. They said that you couldn't even find a parking place for the Browns game Sunday.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so this, you watched this, and you were just, you had a smile from ear to ear. You had a Cheshire Cat smile. You were so excited, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I wanted to tell you, too, there's a guy that he wrote a lot on the Indians and Browns, and they talked a lot about the Cleveland Indians last night. You know what? A lot of people didn't like the motto of it, but I think it was late. He does the post game show for the Browns. He worked at the Plain Dealer, and he had a lot of call. You know, he called Hall of Famers. So he was asking me about the Indians, and I told him I'll still. He said, "Well, Dick, now you got to go. I've got some old Pernellia. You know, my Indians, my Browns, my hats." And he told me that for your fan base, Dick, you know, and being a caller to the show, I'm going to start wearing that, you know. I think it would just be neat to keep the motto. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, so you're saying you're going to keep all of the memorabilia, okay, so you're still going to wear the Chief Wahoo hat and all that stuff. Now, Dick, are you concerned that that the Pussy Willows out there will be offended by that?
No.
You will not. So you're not afraid of the flowers out there. I understand. I got you.
No.
Is this a tough week for you, though, Dick? I mean, this is the final week for the rest of our lives that the Cleveland Indians will exist. Dick, you bleed Ohio. You got the Guardians. What kind of nickname is that?
I know, everybody said the same thing, Ben. I mean, it's like, you know, you're taking away something. Like, you know, in the college in Ohio, it used to be the Redskins. Now it's the Red Hawks. So I say history be made, you know, in Cleveland. Yeah. But I just wonder how many people on opening day are going to go next year, you know?
Well, I think the people, well, it depends how much the tickets are and how good the team is, and people will show up. Look, Washington Redskins, they got rid of that name. They're still going to the games and still watching the games. All right. Well, thank you, Dick. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, there goes the great Dick in Dayton. Now, I mentioned Stranger Danger. Real quick, we take it out of Jacksonville. It can't be an NFL week without someone trashing Urban Meyer. And oops, it happened again. Urban Meyer under attack from another anonymous NFL executive ripping Urban Meyer's coaching of Trevor Lawrence. There were some questions asked about Trevor Lawrence. Why does he suck? I mean, this guy was supposed to be good. He goes out there, he blows every game so far in his rookie season. A lot of hype. Said to be a generational talent. He has looked anything like that, the antithesis of a generational talent in Jacksonville through three games, unless you enjoy pick sixes. He's got a lot of Peterman in him, Nathan Peterman, which is not a compliment. And so an executive, a nameless incognito executive, told The Athletic behind a paywall, "You've got to overcome Jacksonville," he said, of Trevor Lawrence. "There are a lot of things wrong down there when you give the keys to a coach who has never coached at the pro level, and he is also dictating personnel with a rookie quarterback. That is very dangerous." Close quote. There you go. Stranger danger. Urban Meyer. Everything wrong is Urban Meyer's fault. It's his fault. Seems to me, I look at that depth chart, I see some pretty decent names there. James Robinson played very well last year. DJ Chark, Marvin Jones, been around the NFL for a long time. There's a couple other guys that have name brand value, and yet terrible. Terrible, 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 terrible. So over the course of 3 weeks, we've had reports that Urban Meyer was rubbing the Jacksonville staff the wrong way, that some of the players in the locker room were questioning his coaching methods, and now we've had another executive saying that Urban Meyer is the problem. He's the reason that Trevor Lawrence sucks. I've noticed a pivot that this is the new thing here. It used to be blame the offensive line, blame the offensive line, blame the receivers. Now it's the coaching. When a rookie quarterback comes out and stinks, it's never the quarterback's fault. It's always the coach's fault. How great is that? If I have a bad show, am I supposed to blame my boss, Scott Shapiro at Fox Sports Radio, because it's his fault? He didn't coach me up? Come on. It's my fault. I'm the one doing the damn show. Trevor Lawrence is the one playing quarterback. What kind of soft bullcrap is this? Stop. Like, Urban Meyer became the village idiot when he got to Jacksonville. It's ridiculous. All right, straight ahead. Speaking of ridiculous, Cite the Bite, the great sports radio mystery, Cite the Bite. We'll get to that, and we will do it next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
From peasants to patriarchs, everyone is welcome in the secret society that is the Maller Militia. Listen live from 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday, but catch up on shows you missed on demand, around the clock, via the podcast. Tell your friends and enemies about the virtues of the Ben Maller Show. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your audio content and give us a 5-star review. It helps supersize the Maller brand. And now live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
It's time now to Cite the Bite, where we play random generic sound bites, you know, inane sports and entertainment cliches spoken by so-called experts. You try to tell us who's doing the talking.
Cite the Bite, the great sports radio mystery. We pull a random sound bite from someone of prominence in our little sporting world. Be an athlete, prominent coach, a media member, and then you have to listen very closely to your radio or whatever device you are listening to us on, a streaming service, whatever it might be, and figure out who the mystery person is. So without further ado, let's go to the audio tape.
I've worked extremely hard.
Ooh, this is a long one this week. I've worked extremely hard. Play it again, play it again, play it again.
I've worked extremely hard.
All right, will anyone get this right? I am going to go caller number 5. I'm going to go caller 5. Eddie.
Caller 5.
Chris.
Caller 6.
Okay, oh. Thank you. Big fan of the show, Eddie. Go ahead there, Koopaloo. What do you think, Coop?
Well, I mean, we're about 3 minutes times 4. Caller number 5.
Caller 5. All right, interesting. We've all, everyone except Chris, but he's an interloper, picking caller 5. All right. Anyway, all right, here we... Yeah. It's a good word, right? Isn't that a good word, interloper?
A wonderful world.
I love that word. That's a word I learned a couple years ago. I love it. Didn't learn it in school. All right, let's get to it. Play it again, Chris. Play it again. Come on.
I've worked extremely hard.
Cite the Bite, the great sports radio mystery. Let's start out with Credit Card Gordon, who is not in Ottawa. He's somewhere else. Hello, Credit Card Gordon.
Waterloo, Ben. Waterloo.
I'll remember that in like 5 years. Go ahead. You know, Gordon in Waterloo.
It's got to be Wilt Chamberlain.
Psych! Well, yes, Wilt. He actually came back from the graveyard to give us that soundbite. All right, thank you, Gordy in Waterloo, for your answer.
And I've worked extremely hard.
Yeah, that's the soundbite. Next up on Cite the Bite, the great sports radio mystery, Shane in Des Moines. Shane, golden ticket can be yours, Shane.
Is that Minnesota Wild star Kevin Fiala?
Kevin Fiala. No, it is not. I'm sorry, Shane. Thank you for playing. Time for our first clue. He had Cooper Manning. He and Cooper Manning are the only players in their high school history to record 1,000 receiving yards in a season.
I've worked extremely hard.
All right. Time for caller number 3 on Cite the Bite. Real quick, let's go to Slim the Trucker. Slim, what's the answer, Slim?
Hey, Ben, is that former legendary Jackson State basketball player and three-point specialist Thomas Max Lee?
Not this
no.
Time.
No, that's incorrect. Real quick, let's go to caller 4 or 5. No, we don't have time. It's Odell Beckham. Odell Beckham Jr. is the answer. Oh, nobody got it right. I blame Coop for that.